Hey, listeners, welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. This week is a tricky subject. This is your trigger warning because we are talking about natural miscarriage with doula and nurse Amanda Lindemann. I am so grateful that she is sharing her personal stories with us, and I'm really hoping it's going to help some of you mamas out there. Before I give you your sneak peek, I want to tell you that season two of the Natural Birth Talk is starting. That first Monday of June will be our first episode of season two. And in season two, we are releasing episodes every other week, because honestly, I'm a mom of five and I gotta be more considerate of my time and a little more realistic. So without further ado, here's your sneak peek. Stick around.
And the nurses took me back because I think I just needed that like reassurance, like, yes, this was happening.
Right.
So that's why I went. But the nurses took me back and the ER doctor walked in and he said, "So you think you might be having a miscarriage?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, I know I am having a miscarriage."
Hi, I'm Rachel Manns, owner of The Natural Birth Site and this podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. Here, you'll learn all about different natural aspects of birth, pregnancy, and postpartum. Remember, none of this information should take the place of a care provider and is not medical advice. Birth is not a medical emergency. Thanks for listening. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. I'm Rachel, and today I am here with Amanda Lindemann, and we are talking about a sensitive topic because we are talking about miscarriage, but Amanda really wants to share her story on how she went through her miscarriages naturally and still let her body do what her body needed to do to birth these babies. So I will go ahead and let Amanda introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. Like Rachel said, I'm Amanda. I am a nurse turned doula, and we are technically on our fifth pregnancy. We have two girls. One is 7 and one is 2.5. And both of my miscarriages actually happened after both of their healthy pregnancies. So I know this is such a hard topic for some moms to relate to, but I think it's important that we are able to share our stories and we might be able to help someone else along their journey.
Absolutely. And that is kind of the point, because so you as a nurse, I think let's backtrack. Most people think that when you have a miscarriage, you have to do one of two things, right? They think you either have to have a DNC or you have to take that pill, which is usually like Cytotec, Omisoprostol, to try and encourage labor to happen, right? That's what most people think,
yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
But surprisingly, you don't have to do any of that.
No, and I didn't do either of those with either miscarriage. They both were all natural and at home.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, just from what I've heard in talking to people who have had a natural miscarriage versus a medicated or even manual miscarriage, calling the DNC kind of manual, I think people tend to process their miscarriages a little bit better. And their bodies tend to recover better from the miscarriage when it's done naturally at home. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think it's the way everyone processes it and the fact that it could be different. Some moms really just want to get it over. But then I think there's some of us who are very like attached to that emotional side of it.
Yeah.
And in that situation, I think letting your body just take over and do its thing is so important.
Right.
Because it really does connect you more to, you know, that baby that you're waiting for one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you want to start with just kind of telling us your stories? How far along were you? Or, you know, tell one and then tell the other, or if they kind of cross over in details, you know, as far as how things went, just share however you want to share.
Yeah. Like I said, we have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. Both of them were super healthy pregnancies, not a lot of concerns. And so over the past 1.5 years, because I said, like, technically this is our fifth baby now that we're expecting in July. So over the past 1.5 years, I've lost 2 of them. The first one, I was, thanks. Yeah. It's definitely been an emotional roller coaster for sure. But the first miscarriage, I was 10.5 weeks. And the second one, I had just hit 6 weeks. So with the 10.5 week one, with that whole story, I kind of felt like the pregnancy was just doomed from the beginning. And I don't know if that's like a way to say that, but just my experience, I knew in my head I was going to have a home birth with it. We had our midwife picked out. And at 8 weeks, like, I just wanted to make sure lab work and everything was okay. So I did go see an OB. They could not find the heartbeat in office, which at 8 weeks. You know, sometimes that's not uncommon at all to not find that. And so they were going to bring me back 2.5 weeks later. So literally the day after I miscarried is the day I was supposed to go re-listen for a heartbeat again.
Oh,
so yeah. So that was kind of like, oh, but I can also say like once the doomed part is once I had said like, I'm switching to a home birth at such and such weeks, like the whole appointment just went downhill and I felt like it just got brushed away at that point. So the
unfortunately, that's not uncommon.
No. You know? Yes.
If you plan on having a home birth, switching from your OB, there are a couple OBs that are very supportive of that. But for the most part, you probably don't want to even mention it to your OB.
No. And so the funny thing is like this OB, like he doesn't deliver anymore. So that's where I was like, what? So like at 20 weeks, you switch to a different provider anyways. So.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah. So the whole appointment was just like even like just shot down after that. And so I wasn't leaving that appointment feeling excited or I was more nervous. It was like, this just didn't feel right. So 2.5 weeks later, like we had already told, I mean, we told people, my daughters knew, or my, you know, my, at the time, I guess she was six. She understood what was going on just because, you know, she's a big sister at that point.
Right.
So we'd already kind of let everyone know, let family know. And I was actually sitting at work one day and I got up and I went to the bathroom. I had no cramping, no back pain. I didn't feel different in any way. The only thing that had seemed off once I realized what was going on was my morning sickness had improved. I was super sick. And then I was getting to that end of that first trimester. So I didn't think anything of it. And I was sitting there, I went to the bathroom, everything was fine. And I just happened to like wipe and there was some streaky blood. And so I was like, okay, something's up. I know it can be normal, but this is like a little thicker than what I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my OB's office and they said they would have to wait till he came out of the room and they would give me a call back. And so within like an hour, the bleeding had picked up a little. And I was like, okay, I'm calling them back because I want to know what they want me to do. Even though in my head, like I already knew what was happening. I just had that feeling and I wasn't too concerned about what they were going to say because I knew like this was going to happen at home. Right. So like I let my boss know and she was like, go do whatever you need to do. So I left and I called the OB office again and I said, hey, like, you know, it's getting heavier. What am I like? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to come in, like try to find the heartbeat today? And they were like, no, just go straight to the ER. So I was like, okay, great. So I went to the ER. So this is middle of COVID. Of course, I had to be by myself. And by that time, it was great. By that time that I got there, the bleeding had stopped. I still had no cramping whatsoever. And the nurses took me back because I think I just needed that like reassurance, like, yes, this was happening.
Right.
So that's why I went. But the nurses took me back and the ER doctor walked in and he said, so you think you might be having a miscarriage? And I looked at him and I said, no, I know I am having a miscarriage. And he was very just like, well, let's just take a look and see what's going on. So my background,
they never trust you. You don't know what, even though you're a nurse, you don't know what's going on.
Right. So they're trying to make small talk and like make me feel comfortable. And they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a nurse and I'm a doula. So like, I know what's going on. And so the ER doctor brought in a bedside ultrasound machine and having two babies and having just a birth background, like I knew there wasn't a heartbeat. I could see it on there. And he was just very like nonchalant. Well, I don't see this. So let's go do another ultrasound, like down in the radiology department. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I already know what's going on. I would just rather go home. And so they wanted to run fluids through me. And I was like, I don't need fluids. Like,
what is that? They always, no matter what you go in for, they want to give you fluids.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just watched me drink like an entire bottle of water and I'm in here because I broke my arm. Why do you want to give me fluids?
Exactly. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what are the, like, fluids aren't, they're not saving this pregnancy. Like, it's already happening. That's not going to do anything for me. So I was like, no, like, we're not doing that. You know, they, of course, at that point, you know, you tell your healthcare provider no, and they just kind of are like, whatever. So we went down, we did another ultrasound, and that tech was like, well, I don't know, like I'm going to have somebody else come in and look at it. And again, there's no sound to the heartbeat. There's no, like nothing showing up. And so I'm like, okay, can this just be done? Like I, at this point, I wanted to go home. My husband had got there and I'm like, okay, like I already know, just let me go. Like it's fine. And so of course, then someone else came in, looked at it, still no heartbeat. Well, we have to wait for the radiologist to read it. Okay.
Like, because you're already not sad or frustrated enough.
Yes.
Let sit and make you have to wait longer and drag this out.
Yes. Finally, we went back to the room and the doctor comes in and he's like, okay, so you were right. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, no, sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but for real. Like,
I'll probably bleep that part out. I'm fine with me saying it, but my podcast may not be.
No, that's fine. So, but like, that's literally like my thought process at that point was like, okay, like I already knew this. Like, I don't even know why I came here. Like the OB said, you come here. And I guess he just wasn't processing right. And so I did.
Well, and even though we like being outside of the situation as doulas or nurses or whatever, like we know when we're talking to our clients, what we need to tell them and what we need to do in those situations. Yeah. But when it's us, it's different. It's just like your brain totally glitches. Like I had a moment with my last pregnancy where I had a little bit of spotting and I knew that it was from, you know, the night before with my husband. And I still had this like panic reaction almost. And it's just like, I don't know. So there's something about it when it's ourselves. It's just different.
Yes. Which I guess I can sidetrack for just a second, because like going off of that with this pregnancy. So like yesterday I had had some like spotting and my back had been hurting since like Sunday. And so like I messaged my midwife and was like, hey, this is what's going on. And she was like, you need to go get checked. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm fine. Like I know nothing's going on. I just told you that for, I guess, no reason. Cause I knew I wasn't going to go get checked. But I mean, like he's moving fine and it's all stopped now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's the way we process things. So, we went back into the room and the doctor had said what he needed to say. And the nurse handed me this like pamphlet and I don't even think she really knew how to like translate or like explain this pamphlet to me, but it was like about grieving and losses. And I was like, I don't know, maybe this is helpful for someone, but I don't need this pamphlet. Like that was it. Like that was the end of the conversation. Like, here's this pamphlet. Like if you need support here, go.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. So my husband and I went home. We took the kids over to my mom's house because I knew at this point, like the process would start and it was a matter of how were we going to handle that process. And I knew what to expect textbook wise, but having this be the first miscarriage, I was not aware of what exactly that was going to look like for my body because both of my labors with my daughters had been around 19 hours. So I was like, well, is this going to be like a full labor process? Like what's going on? So still at this point, I wasn't cramping and the bleeding had not started back up anymore.
Okay.
But to know that our girls were away, like I was going to have to sleep at some point that night and I just didn't want them there for that. So we went home and I slept the best I could. Right. The bleeding finally started again in the middle of the night, still no cramping. My husband and I got up the next morning. We went and ate at Cracker Barrel. And while we were eating breakfast, I said, I think we need to go. Like these are starting to get intense. And they really did. It went from like just mild period cramps to what felt like early to maybe like active labor contractions.
Okay.
They were more intense and I was having to like just focus through them. And so we lived like 20 minutes from town. And so we drove all the way home and we got out there and I remember just being in the bed and I could not get comfortable. Mm-hmm. I was breathing through them. Sorry.
It's okay.
It was really hard. Like I remember being on my hands and knees and I don't know, for some women, they may not feel it, but all of a sudden I felt a pop. And at that point I knew that the baby had passed. So I went into the bathroom. I was still kind of holding it together. Like the night before I had cried a lot.
Yeah.
But during the process itself, I was just very focused on like trying to rest and just get through it and breathe through it. So I went into the bathroom and I yelled for my husband. And at that point I had lost it. And we had this sweet little baby, like, just, I don't know, there.
Yeah.
And so, like, we got a spoon out and we put it in a box and we did our own, like, little memorial service, I guess you could say, for it. So that part, like, was super intense just because, like, I wasn't expecting to see it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of times, like, some women just, like, flush the toilet and go about their day and that's that. So, but for me, I think it was, I was so in tune with the process that I knew once I felt that pop, like, something had happened. Like, that was it for us.
Yeah.
And then the realization set in. And so.
Well, and like, to see the baby, like, to actually see it.
Yeah.
See that it's a baby. Like, is, I can only imagine how that is. And I love that you did the whole memorial thing. I think that's so beautiful. And anyway, I'll let you keep going, but.
No, you're fine. Yeah. And I think that was the part that hit me the most because I wasn't, I mean, even at 10 and a half weeks, when you look on the apps, like, yes, you see this little like tadpole thing and you still, I think you still just think of it as like an embryo or cells or whatever you want to consider it. But then it was like, no, like you could see a spine and you could see an eye and like that might be too much for someone, but that's the realization of what it was. So it was super hard. And but by that point, like the bleeding was heavier afterwards. It picked up over the next couple of days. I was passing clots. One of them was literally the size of an egg. And so like to me at first, I was like, okay, I haven't even had this with my pregnancies. Like delivering after, like, I had very minimal blood loss, like not a lot of bleeding going on. There wasn't, I mean, there was some small clots, which are normal, but then like, so this process afterwards was different for me.
Yeah.
Like I just wasn't expecting it. And going back to the hospital, they didn't tell me what to expect.
Which, like, is terrible because knowing that you were going to go on and have this miscarriage naturally, the way your body intended to do it, they should have explained, like, this is going to be very similar to labor. You are going to have postpartum bleeding. So you are going to have this, you know, your emotional and hormonal changes. And I hate that that was not explained. And it's so important. And I think, and honestly, I don't really know, and maybe you know better than I do, but with the DNC, well, with the pill that you can take, the Cytotec, you have the same type of thing, right? Because it's still a natural labor. It's just an induced labor. So that I would imagine is still the same process. Is a DNC, do you still have, I would assume you still have the postpartum bleeding and stuff like that too.
So you do have bleeding, but they go in and they like cauterize. And so that was one of the things, like, that was going to be up to my OB. So I'm not sure how it is for every mom, but I know, for instance, like I know someone very personal who had a miscarriage. Also, she, when her bleeding wouldn't slow down is when they went in and did the DNC.
Yeah.
In my case at the hospital, they did say like, your OB will follow up with you, which no, I had to follow up with him.
Yeah.
So, but once I started passing the larger clots, like I did call and talk to the nurse practitioner who was, she was absolutely a sweetheart and amazing.
Good.
But like, then she assured me like, no, like this is normal. This is fine. And she's like, but why don't you come in so that we can check your blood work and make sure that your levels have dropped and that your cervix is closing again, because your cervix does dilate and you have to go through that.
Yeah.
And so at that point, that's when she had said, like, she checked me and she said, you know, like, yes, your cervix is closing back up. You don't have to have the DNC if you don't want to.
Hey everyone, Rachel Manns here, and today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter, guys, you'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood. A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?
ease into sleep, the afterbirth plan, and the core connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show.
Okay.
So at that point, it was like, well, no, I've already gone through the process. There's nothing left. We know that my cervix is healing. It's cleaning itself out on its own. Like,
yeah,
I don't see the need for the DNC at that point.
And I think that's a really important part, how she said, if you don't want to. That is so important, because if you go into the ER, many of the doctors are going to just say, okay, you have to have a DNC.
Yeah.
Or you have to take this pill. And the reality of it is that you don't have to do any of those things.
Right.
You just have to let your body go through the process. Now, if you want to do those things, you have them as an option.
Yeah.
But as we've kind of already addressed, most people tend to process a little bit better when they actually go through the process. It is obviously a little more work and a little bit harder from what, you know, you've explained. It is going through labor, and you don't have that beautiful reward of holding, you know, you do get to see your baby and hold your baby, but you know, they're not there with you. And that's really sad. And that's really hard, but it helps you to still process everything emotionally. And I think it helps your body, like at a physical level, to process and recover better.
Right. Cause I mean, and if you think about it as like a labor to full term that, you know, has a healthy baby and you get that reward at the end, like we're not offering or making moms go through a DNC for that postpartum bleeding, or, you know, we're not like, oh, you have to have this done after you have a baby. So that was the fact that she was very understanding and let me, I don't know, maybe she understood that I was a doula and a nurse. I don't know.
Maybe.
But she very was understanding. And so she's like, you know, your bleeding will stay for, you know, the next couple of weeks. And it did, it lasted about 3 weeks.
Which is normal, for any, you know, birth.
Yeah. And I was still nursing my second. And so I feel like that maybe helped kind of speed up their process too, because, you know, as we're nursing, we're helping that uterus contract back down. But
of course,
so, you know, that first one was hard, and it was, it literally emotionally hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
It's just, I wasn't expecting. I mean, I had two healthy pregnancies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like this one, just, that was it. It was done.
Yeah.
So I think that's hard sometimes too, because we're like, okay, so the rate is what, 1 in 3 pregnancies will end in a miscarriage, but I already had 2 healthy ones. So I wasn't expecting that. And then I mean, that statistic probably could have changed. I don't know. Don't quote me on that one.
It's close. It's something like that. Or 1 in 3 women have experienced a miscarriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So that one happened. That was the week before Christmas that we lost that one.
Oh, wow. What a time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was hard. Like we had our big, like we had already told some people, but our big announcement for family was going to be that following week. So that whole process, I mean, just start to finish with the OB not wanting to really do anything about the pregnancy because I was switching, and then having to go through that, like it was very emotional and alone. Yeah.
And then the hospital not giving you accurate information, treating you like you didn't know what was going on. I think that's very isolating, and you do feel alone.
Yeah. And I think a part of me, like I wasn't disappointed so much, I guess, in the fact that they didn't tell me what was going on, like what would happen. Mm-hmm. But the fact that what if it was a mom who wasn't a doula or who wasn't a nurse? Like that was something I kept thinking about too. Like,
yeah,
this mom is going to go home and not know what to expect. And so, and maybe that's why so many end up with a DNC, is because like, that's just what's thrown out them. Like, hey, like talk to your OB, and then your OB is going to want to go in and do a DNC. And they don't realize like you can do this at home. So yeah. So then not even 4 months later, like my cycle, I think I had 2 cycles after that one.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all of a sudden I was like, Oh, I haven't started yet. I should probably check that out. So I did, and I looked at my app because I was tracking it because I wasn't sure if we were ready to have another one, or they said like wait 3 months is the recommendation before trying again.
Although I know with a natural miscarriage, you're supposed to be able to try sooner you can with a DNC, I believe. Like DNCs, they want you to wait longer because there's a lot more healing that has to go on in your uterus than there is in a natural miscarriage.
Right.
So okay, anyway.
Yeah. No, you're fine. I was like, so at this point, I was like, man, we're so close to that date, but whatever. I'm just going to check. And so by like my calculations, I was right at 6 weeks. I took a test because I knew it came back positive. It was a bright positive, but I wasn't mentally excited. Like no part of me was ready for that. And I know that that might sound bad to some, like whoever, but for me, that was my personal experience.
Yeah.
And I called my midwife because I was like, I'm already switching. I knew I was going to have a midwife this time around. Mm-hmm. So I called her and I was like, hey, this is what happened. Like, I know that whatever, you can't really do much. I'm right at 6 weeks, but could we please order lab work? Like, I just want to know where my levels are at and see if there's anything to prevent this. She was like, yeah, that's fine. So I called my sister and I was like, hey, I just took a test. It's positive. And of course my sister's like, oh, good. And I'm like, no, like it doesn't feel right. Like something is off. And my sister, of course, you know, being her, she was like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. Like,
right. I mean, because what else is someone going to say, really? Right. I would probably be like, well, if you trust your instincts, that would be my response. But that's as the doula in me, right?
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't expect family or sisters to say anything other than try to be reassuring, you know?
Right. Right. And so I was like, okay, like, whatever, like, you're full of it. Something's off. Don't say anything to anyone. I'm not even going to call Adam, who is my husband. We're just going to wait and see. So my midwife ordered the blood work. I went, so all the same day, like I took the test, called her, got the blood work ordered. I went and got it. And before we even had the results back the next day, I had already started bleeding.
Wow.
So I knew, okay, like, well, great. We get to go through this whole process again. Like it just happened. My daughter actually had a dance competition that weekend. So I was just like, what? I've already been through this. Right. I remember bleeding through the pads. I don't want to be out and about doing this. And so I mowed the grass. And I know that sounds so crazy, but I couldn't handle it emotionally or physically at that point that I was like, I have to do something.
Yeah.
I went outside and I mowed the grass and it's with a push mower. And my husband was very much like, stop, come inside and just rest. And I was like, I can't. I need this process to get over as fast as it can.
Yeah.
And it didn't. I mean, I am not in charge of that whatsoever. And it didn't. So the next 2 days was spent bleeding and it just picked up and got heavier. And we were just, home. We didn't do much of anything. We ended up with a 6-year-old who was throwing up everywhere during whole process. Yeah. So, and then on Sunday, I had to get up and go to a dance competition for my daughter. So it was it started on Thursday. And by Sunday with this one, by the afternoon, it was slowing down finally.
Well,
the cramping was still just as bad. It stopped me at some point. And I know a lot of times that they will say like, oh, you may not even know at that point. Like it'll be just like a period, but I didn't know. Like I knew. So that was super hard. But this time, like I knew what to expect. I called my midwife and said, hey, we don't even need the results back. The bleeding has picked up. It's happening. And she called me. It was Saturday. She messaged me and said, hey, like your levels are dropping. And I was like, great. Again, I already knew this.
Right.
So yeah, that one, there wasn't as much labor as I guess the first one. It was just very intense cramps. Like I was on my cycle. But mentally I knew what was happening.
Well, and that makes sense that it wouldn't be quite as intense because you were 4 weeks earlier. So, there's just less to pass, unfortunately, like size wise.
Yes, exactly. So, but that one, like once I mowed the grass, I did tell myself to stop and rest because I knew like as you're going through labor, like postpartum or, your cycle, the more you do, the more you bleed. So, that's what I did. I came in and I laid in bed and watched Grey's Anatomy, and that was waited for it to pass, dealt with a sick kid, you know, over the weekend, and got up and went to a dance competition and had to pretend like nothing was going on.
Yeah. And that's probably like the hardest part, is that pretending, because you don't want to explain your story to every single person who walks by.
Right. Yes. Right.
But also it would have been way better for you to just be able to be at home and be at peace, you know, where you can just process. Yeah. And so now, though, we have a silver lining at the end of this and some good news, right?
Yes. So we have a boy coming. It's going to be a huge change, but we are expecting him sometime in July. And it looks like we're finally going to get our rainbow baby. And we are very excited about it.
So right now, as of this recording, you're like 24 to 26 weeks pregnant somewhere in there. So that's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been like an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. The pregnancy with him alone has been emotional, but then after the two losses, like that has just added to it. Mm-hmm. And so like I've had COVID at the beginning of this pregnancy. So, and just with other issues going on, we have been monitoring every like 3 weeks. We're doing ultrasounds right now, which has been just super reassuring and has helped a ton, because I don't know that without those or without my own Doppler that I would be as relieved in less stress as I was at the beginning of the pregnancy when I had COVID, and at 10 weeks, we hadn't checked for a heartbeat yet. So, so everything, I mean, it's going good so far. We've had some hiccups, but we're ready for him to be here.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. I really hope that that's really inspiring for some people. And actually, I do want to ask you this. So are you overall glad that you went through the process naturally?
I am. I am so glad I did. And I don't know, we are really big in our faith. And so a lot of, like, I'm a strong believer in, we may not always get the birth we want, but we get the birth we need. Uh-huh. And so for those two, like, whatever it was at that time, like, God felt I needed to experience. I don't want to say God felt like I needed to experience that, because I mean, that probably sounds bad, but at that point, like, something was going on, something bigger that I couldn't see, that, you know, maybe I needed that for some odd reason. We don't know what happened. We never did the testing after to find out why. I really didn't want to know why in that moment. And then of course afterwards, you know, it's a little late for that, but for whatever reason, like, those births, I think, have made me stronger for this one. And it's just really made me like pay that much more attention to what's going on and really just, I don't know, take in this pregnancy as much as I can.
Yeah. Like, treasure it and find all the little joys you can find and be more grateful. And I'm so glad you shared with us, because again, like I've already said a few times, so many women don't know, even the naturally minded women don't know that you don't have to have the DNC. You don't have to take the pill. You can just let the process happen. And in my personal opinion, it's better to just let the process happen, not just for processing reasons and like your body physically recovering better, but then you read those stories sometimes where someone says, no, your baby doesn't have a heartbeat. And then 9 months later, they have a healthy baby.
Right. Right. And I think,
or I guess it'd be like 7 or 8 months later, but what, you know,
somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy because I feel like it's just another thing that like the medical world, we just jump to intervene and there's no reason, like there's not a reason for it. I mean, yes, if there's a true reason, then, you know, that's the option that you have. But if it's health, like, if, you know, I can't say if it's healthy because obviously something's going on, but if your body is handling it fine in what we would consider normal, we don't need to intervene at all. I think it just brings that like recognition to like, stop intervening altogether. Like, I don't know.
Yep.
That's a different story, I think. So
we could get on our doula rants about intervention.
Yes. So we'll save that for another day.
Yes. Is there anything else you want to add or tell the audience before we finish up?
I don't want moms to give up. You know, with my story personally, after two healthy pregnancies and then two losses, I wasn't sure if we would have another one. I knew that I wanted to try again. And of course I was scared, but like, I don't want moms to give up because it's possible. It might take extra work or extra loving or whatever you want to call it, but mm-hmm. like just don't quit. It's yeah. possible to go on and have, you know, a healthy pregnancy after losses.
Absolutely.
And to reach out to people, mm-hmm. talking about it has been, I mean, I've talked to a few moms who have gone through it who needed reassurance that it was mm-hmm. okay. So it is okay to build that support system and talk to people about it and what you went through, because it's literally the more we know, like the better community we can have surrounding us during it.
Yeah. And then that helps with that feeling of loneliness. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And seek other opinions. You can always seek other opinions.
Yes. That is another thing, especially if you're considering a DNC or the medicine for the miscarriage, like get a second opinion first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like I just said, you hear of people saying that their baby doesn't have a heartbeat and then they have a healthy baby 7 or 8 months later. So you want, you know, especially if you're going to go the medical route, like get a second opinion first. Just yes, in case.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, Amanda. Listeners, you know, if you have any questions, you can email me at contact@thenaturalbirthsite.com. But we just want you to know that you're not alone and that you know, there is a natural process that can take place with a miscarriage. You don't have to go through all the cold interventions and things if you don't want to. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you in the next episode.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to this podcast and head over to my site, thenaturalbirthsite.com, to check out my blog, shop, email list, and YouTube channel. Thanks. Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.